We're going to continue to share along the line something the Lord put in my heart a while ago, a few months back. He just spoke two words to me. He said, "It's settled." And, you know, there's some things according to the Word of God. He said, the psalmist wrote, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Psalm 119:89. And I like, there's a translation called the Knox translation, K-N-O-X, in Psalm 119:89. It says, "Lord, the word thou hast spoken stands ever unchanged in heaven." So he doesn't change. Man changes. Man may change some things, you know, we know that just from life. People say one thing and do another. But God can't change. He never changes. Malachi 3:6 in the New Living, he said, "I am the Lord and I do not change." I don't change. And so he doesn't change. James 1:17. These are familiar scripture verses, James 1:17. And the New Living says, "Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in heaven." He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He doesn't change. He's without, the King James said, he's without variableness or shadow of turning. He doesn't change. And so isn't that comforting that in this world that we live in, with people doing whatever they're doing and things going on the way they are, and we have a rock, a foundation that never changes. We have a God that cares for us. We have a God that sent Jesus to die for the sins of mankind. It's settled. And he took our sins, as the scripture in Revelation says, he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He took our sins and he took them to hell and he bore them. And when sin was satisfied, I mean, when justice was satisfied for the sins of all mankind, he was raised from the dead. And then the scripture says we were raised with him because it was my sin that he took. And so he was raised from the dead. And then it also said that we were raised with him and seated with him in heavenly places. Why don't we look at that scripture? That's a good scripture to look at in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 in the New Living Translation. New Living Translation, starting in verse 4 of Ephesians 2, it says, "But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ." See, we were raised with him, "and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus." And then verse 7, it says, "So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are reunited with Christ Jesus." And I shared all of that at the beginning here because when something is settled, that means it's, in other words, when you make a choice and you say, "Well, I've settled something for me in my heart," that means you've determined something. That means you've made a choice, you've resolved something, or you could say you've decided, right? You've looked at all the information or the facts and you said, "I'm going to do this. I've decided. It's settled. I'm doing this." Well, that's what happened with the Godhead. The Father determined that man had missed it. Adam missed it, and all of the authority that he had given to man was lost and given to the devil. And that's why in 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says that the God of this world, and it talks about the God of this world, or and I think in Peter it talks the prince of the power of the air. So he is now still, he has the authority in this earth realm until Jesus returns, and then he's cast into the lake of fire. And so until that time, he has the right to deceive mankind. But isn't it wonderful to know that when Jesus came, and let's take a look at Colossians chapter 2, and the Passion Translation, starting in verse 13. This is so exciting to me that with all that's going on around us, that the devil's been defeated, he's been stripped of his authority over who? Over us, the church. But I like this in the Passion Translation, Colossians, starting in chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, "This realm of death describes our former state, for we were held in sin's grasp, but now we've been resurrected out of that realm of death, never to return. For we are forever alive and forgiven of all our sins." And then verse 14, "He canceled out," it's talking about Jesus here now, "He canceled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all, our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession triumph. He was not their prisoner, they were his." And why did I read that? Because if you go to chapter 1, in verse 13, it says, "In him we have redemption," or "in whom we have," I'm sorry, in Colossians 1:13, I'm reading another scripture, "who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son," in verse 14, "in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." And so we've been made free. I like these other translations. This is the New Living Translation of Colossians 1:13. It says, "For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son." So we've been set free. We're redeemed. We're seated in heavenly places with Christ. And so what does that mean? If Christ, and I say it that way, and I say it in that tense, but since Christ has been given all authority and all power in heaven and in earth, and that's what Matthew chapter 28 says. And we can look at that in verse 28. Chapter 28, verse 18, in the New Living, it says, "And Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth." Well, let me ask you a question. If he has been given all authority in heaven and on earth, and we're his body, then that means because we are heirs of God, let's turn over to Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. In the Amplified, let's look at this in the Amplified. I like the way this reads, the Amplified Classic, starting in verse 16, Romans chapter 8, it says, "The Spirit himself thus testifies," the King James says, "bears witness with our spirit." It says, "testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are children of God." And verse 17, "And if we are his children, then we are his heirs." So we're heirs of God. "And heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him." What did he just get done sharing? He said, "I've been given all authority in heaven and in earth." So if we're sharing his inheritance, then that means by virtue of us being heirs of God and joint heirs, that means we have been given all authority in heaven and in earth. We, his body, have been given that. And then, so isn't that exciting? I wanted to just touch on those thoughts this evening, on our authority in Christ. And our authority in this message title is, "Our Authority in Christ is Settled." And so the Word of God can't change. It's settled. And so in Christ, because the scripture, we just got done reading, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And so this scripture is telling us here that we are fellow heirs with Christ. I like the way the Amplified Classic says, sharing his inheritance with him in verse 17. So we're sharing that inheritance. And so that means we don't have to be subject to the conditions in this earth. And that's why I appreciated Reverend Vidar Lagarde coming and sharing what he's doing in the country of Kenya. And going into that nation and going into some of the poorest areas, going into the slums of Nairobi and sharing these truths, sharing that you've been redeemed, sharing that you've been set free, sharing the truth of God's word, and then also helping them to become proficient, helping them to bring themselves up and to start businesses and to be able to sustain themselves and not just be looking for a handout, but create their own wealth. And so he's going in and seeing marvelous results. Because the Word of God can't change. It's settled. And so it's just exciting to hear what he is doing in that country and the results that he's seeing over decades of being in there, in that country. So what are we really sharing? We're sharing that God has given us authority. He's given us dominion, the authority and dominion that Adam lost because of his sin and transgression or disobeying God's commandment, that's been won back. That's been given back to man or given back to the body of Christ to walk in this earth and to do what? Take back what the devil is done. You know, there's a book that I reference a lot of times at prayer when we have noonday prayer. It's called The Authority of the Believer. It's by John A. Macmillan. That's Macmillan. And this book was written by him way back. He originally wrote it back in the 20s, 1932, actually, originally published 1932, and then there's been some other releases of it, but he wrote this back a long time ago, and these spiritual truths really resonate. He made this statement, I'm going to reference this, it said, "The elevation of his people with him to the heavenlies has no other meaning than that they are made sharers, potentially for the present, of the authority which is his. So we're sharers of that authority which is his. They are made to sit with him. That is, they share his throne. To share a throne means without question to partake of the authority which it represents. Indeed, they have been thus elevated in the plan of God for this very purpose, that they may even now exercise, to the extent of their spiritual apprehension, authority over the powers of the air and over the conditions which those powers have brought about on the earth and are still creating through their ceaseless manipulations of the minds and circumstances of mankind. And I like the way that's written, because when you look at the circumstances of mankind, we could almost say that all these circumstances, whether they're economic, whether they're social, whether they're racial, whether they're political, whether they're in the school system, all the things that we see going on, the further man gets away from God, the further darkness takes a hold and a grip. But that doesn't change the word of God, in that man, those that have made a decision, you know, God made this statement when you look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 in the New Living Translation. Well, let's look at verse 27, Genesis 1 and verse 27 in the New Living Translation. It says, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God created he them. Male and female, he created them. So what? We you know, not trying to create something that's, you know, when we look at God's word, we have a comfort that all of these things that are trying to be perpetrated in society about all the different genders people want to be and change. He said, I made man or male and female, he created them. So that's settled as far as God's word is concerned. And we need to just embrace it and believe it. And so God has restored to mankind through Christ Jesus, he's restored the authority that he originally gave to Adam. And so we do not have to walk in this earth subjected to the stuff that Satan perpetrates. In other words, yes, the word of God says the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. So I can walk in this earth. The body of Christ should be walking in this earth above and not beneath. They should be what? As the scripture says in the Old Testament, the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. We should be the head and not the tail. God said in his word in the New Testament, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And so we are overcomers. We've been rescued from the kingdom of darkness. We are not subject to his power anymore. We've been delivered out of his dominion. You know, in Colossians, let me just read this in Colossians 1:13. We read this, but I want to look at one word here. In the King James, it says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. This word power in verse 13 is the word exousia, and it means delegated influence. It means authority or the power or right over something. And so God is saying, through Paul, writing to the Colossians, he said, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? This delegated authority that was given to Satan, we've been delivered from it. We don't have to be subjected to it. And so when we go through life, when things come, it doesn't mean things won't try to come, but what does it mean? We have been given authority and dominion. Now we have the authority of who? Christ, to speak to the things that come into our life and command them to move, command them to change. And so that's the part that's exciting and comforting to me, and I never lose that thought in my mind. Whenever we're going through things, we need to remind ourselves, wait a minute, I'm seated in heavenly places. I'm above the evil that's in this world. I'm over the devil in Christ. I have authority over him. And so what does that mean? I can rule and reign, and which is what Romans 5:17, we are to rule and reign in Christ in this earth. And so when you, I'm going to go back and reference something out of this book here, the authority of the believer. And I'm just going to read two passages. It says, much of the weakness of the church is due to its failure to understand and appropriate this all-important truth. It is ours, as individual members of the body, to seek that the authority of Christ shall come with full acceptance into our spirits. It is not enough to know and acknowledge that he is our fullness. It's not enough to just say, oh yes, he's our fullness. It says, there must be as well the apprehension of the complementary truth that we are also his fullness. We are his fullness. That's what Ephesians 1:23 says. And so here's another passage he wrote in this book, in the Authority of the Believer. It says, in the kingdom age, it's what we're in, Christ has planned that they shall reign with him from the heavenly places over the earth. It is consequently not strange that the principalities and powers who are to be dispossessed of the seats of authority now occupied by themselves should savagely resist their own displacement. These spiritual enemies oppose every step of the overcomer. Who are we? We're the overcomers. And so they're going to resist every step that we make and walk in this authority. And it goes on. These spiritual enemies, I'll read this again, oppose every forward step of the overcomer. They will seek to confuse his mind, sometimes drawing him into error or into extravagance in doctrine. They may even attack him in body, in circumstances, or through his family or his friends. The devil does not want to be dispossessed or displaced from his position of authority. What does that mean? When we come into an area, we have the authority of Christ to forbid him and to loose the powers of God. Let's take a look for a few minutes. Let's take a look at Matthew 16 in the Amplified Classic, and let's look at verse 19. This is Matthew 16. And of course, this is where I'm going to read verse 19 in the Amplified Classic, but this is where Jesus was asking his disciples, who do men say that I am? And Peter piped up and he said, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. And we know the exchange that happened. But verse 19 of the Amplified Classic, it says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, must be what is already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, declare lawful on earth, must be what is already loosed in heaven. Well, what's forbidden in heaven? Sin, sickness, disease, strife, worry, anger, you could go on. These are forbidden. So we have the right to forbid them here on the earth. And what does it say? We can loose on earth what is already loosed in heaven. What's loosed in heaven? Peace, love, joy. We can loose that. And healing. And then let's take a look at the Amplified Classic. Let's take a look at Matthew 18:18 in the Amplified Classic. It says the same thing. Jesus speaking here. It says, truly I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. So God, through his Son Jesus, has given us authority to bind and forbid the devil and darkness and those demons that follow him. We can bind and forbid them in this earth, as we shared from this excerpt, that we have the right to forbid and those principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. We have Jesus's word, which doesn't change. It's settled. We have been given dominion and authority, the same authority he has. We have been given that to do what? To take authority over the darkness in this earth. Yeah, there's going to be some resistance. Yeah, there's going to be some pushback, but they cannot stand against the authority that we've been given. Cannot stand. They must move. They must change. And so this is what we were reading before. It says that to share a throne means without question to partake of the authority which it represents. We are sharing Christ's inherited authority. It's what he said, I've been given all authority in heaven and in earth. And we're sharing that. And the body is here to do what? To enforce or to push back those things that are being pushed on mankind. And so all the things that we see, you know, I was sharing this today at prayer, that all the things that we see going on, whether it's in your local town or your state that you live in, or whether it's in New York City, or whether it's in some Washington, D.C., where you have all of the elected officials that run this country. If you don't like what you see, what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to complain about it? Are we supposed to talk about it? No, I believe the scripture, we can turn over there, is 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. And I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation because I like that. And 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1 in the New Living. It says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for him, for them. Pray this way, in verse 2, pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior. So what does he intend for us to do? To take the authority that has been given to us and to exercise it, to push back the dark, use the name of Jesus, take authority and forbid the things that we see going on. Are we going to see change immediately? Maybe, maybe not. But it's the body of Christ that we should be praying for unity, that those in the body of Christ would join in unity to come against the darkness and come against the things that are causing mankind to live beneath the privileges that God paid for them in Christ. And so I just share those thoughts because sometimes it is necessary to share, and it's troubling sometimes to see, you know, it's almost like when you step back, any of us that just take a look and look at what's going on in society, people that don't even know God are saying, what is going on? What is going on in this society? It's almost like it's been escalated and expanded, and it's almost like the devil is pushing, through people, agendas that are ungodly, calling good evil and evil good, and doing things through people that are just, it's darkness. And so we just need to, instead of being fearful, instead of being discouraged, and instead of saying, well, you know, what can we do? No, I'll tell you what we can do. The Bible says we've been given authority and dominion, and we are to do what? We are to, as it says in Matthew, let's look at Mark 16 and 16 in the New Living Translation. Mark 16, 16 in the New Living, it says, anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. Now look at verse 17. These miraculous signs will accompany those who do what? Believe. And it says, they will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages, speak in tongues. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And verse 20, and the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. And so we need to not step back or draw back, because the scripture says he takes no pleasure in that. But we need to press forward knowing that God is with us. He's in us. The greater one is in us. His word doesn't change, and he's given us a commandment to go out and to share the good news of the gospel. Those that believe will be saved. Those that don't won't be. And then these signs shall follow them that believe. Cast out demons. Lay hands on the sick. Speak with new tongues. And so that's our assignment. And I can tell you, what's going on today, there's more of a need. And people today are looking for the truth. They're looking for answers. And because the real person is a spirit, they'll bear witness with the truth. They'll recognize it. They'll say, that's true, I believe that. And so it's a great opportunity to take the authority that we've been given. It's already been settled. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ, and we are there to share his authority that he's been given. And we can take that authority and begin to change society, change the things that have held societies in grip of darkness. You know, once darkness is pushed back from an area, then people begin to flourish. They begin to see, God begins to send people into areas to help them spiritually and naturally. And you begin to see societies change and come up, and they begin to flourish. And that's the role of the church, to bring the good news of the gospel to people that are just struggling. And so I tell you, it's an exciting time to be alive, and we just need to walk in the authority that we've been given. And if you find yourself where there's a lot of pressure and things against you, it could be that you're walking in the authority that you've been given, and maybe you look up and shout hallelujah and say, thank God, I'm making a difference. Glory to God. So praise God. Let's unhook here, because we're here for about 35, 40 minutes and don't want to extend beyond that. But again, I encourage us that when we see things happening, going on in life, whatever they may be, instead of complaining about it, stop and ask God, what should I do about it? He's already settled in his word what we should do about it. He's given the church. You know, let's just close with this scripture. If we go to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22 and 23 in the New Living Translation, we'll just end with this thought here. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22 in the New Living Translation, it says, God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over what? All things for his benefit? Oh no, I don't see that. It says, for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. So we are complete in him, and he did what he did for the benefit of the church, so that we could do now what? Walk in the authority that he secured for the church, for mankind, actually. And it's for the benefit of the church. Praise God. Glory to God. Well, let's close, and we thank God, Father. We thank you, Father, for the word. We thank you that it's working mightily in us. We thank you that we purpose, and not only choose, but purpose to walk in the authority that you've given us, not to complain about the circumstances that we see in and through people who are in authority, people in our lives. We don't know all the circumstances. And so you've told us to ask for help, to help them. And so, Father, we now lift up those who are in authority in this government, the local government here where we live, and the government in Washington, D.C. We ask you to help the president of this United States and the vice president and all of the men and women in the both houses of Congress and all of the justices in the Supreme Court. This isn't about one side or the other. This is about what you commanded us in your word to lift up, offer up supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks, and to ask you to help them. So, Father, we ask you to help them, those that are in authority, that we may lead a godly and quiet life in all godliness and honesty. And we say that we ask for to help those in authority, that the gospel would not be hindered. And Satan, we bind you and forbid you to continue to blind those who are in authority over us in the natural that make laws. And so we bind you and forbid you now in the name of Jesus to continue blinding them to the truth. And Father, we ask that you give them divine wisdom from heaven to know how to rule and make just laws. And we thank you for it, and we believe to receive that in Jesus' name. We loose angelic divine influence, heavenly influence in their realm in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Now, if you're watching tonight and you're still with us, or you're watching at another time, we never leave a service or a time where we don't present an opportunity for people to accept Jesus as their Lord. For the scripture is very clear in Romans 10 and verses 9 and 10 that we are to ask him, confess him with our mouth. And it says, confess who? The Lord Jesus. And that we are to believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. And it says if you do that, you'll be saved. And so we ask that if you've never done that, and we present that, if you've never confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then this is your opportunity to do that. And so we just say this simple prayer after me. Father God, I believe your word. I believe that your word says, and I've just heard it, that I'm to confess the Lord Jesus. So I confess him now as my Savior and my Lord. And so I also believe in my heart that you raised Christ Jesus from the dead. And so now, because I've done that, your word says that I'm saved. I thank you that I am a brand new creature in Christ. I thank you that the Spirit of God has changed my spirit into a brand new spirit. And I thank you that the blood of Jesus has cleansed me, and I am now a brand new person in Christ. Now, if you said that simple prayer, just get in touch with us and let us know that you've said that prayer, and that we'll send you some free information as to who you have become in Christ.